you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. A weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Up and at 'em, everybody. Get up and grill. It's time to rise and scorch. Well, okay, maybe that last one was a little over the top, but you get the idea, right? Saturday mornings just inspire me somehow, I guess. Really, mornings just inspire me. And that dates back long before the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, or even before I was Irv Harrigan on the Hudson and Harrigan Show for 30 years. Oh, sure, I love to sleep late just as much as anybody. Heck, I may have an even greater appreciation for sleeping in than about 99% of the people in this world, because I spent so much of my life getting up at 3 a.m., or as Jim Bob would say, oh, dark early. I even wrote about it in my book, Houston's Morning Show, The True Story of Hudson and Harrigan. Yeah, you can find it on all the usual places, Amazon, barnesandnoble.com. I even made an audiobook out of it, and you can find that on Audible or iTunes. So buy my book, please. And by the way, thanks for letting me plug my book. What am I talking about? This is my show. So, what the heck. Once again, it's Houston's Morning Show, The True Story of Hudson and Harrigan. And just so you know, a portion of the sales price of every book goes to my favorite charity. Me. Hey, I spent 5 years writing that stinking book, so the proceeds go to me, dadgummit. Yeah, the wife and I deserve a night out, so buy my book, please. Anyway, I started out talking about how much I love early mornings and how far back that goes for me. I guess I'm not much different from the way most kids were when we were young. I always thought sleep was just a waste of good free time. I just wanted to play sports or watch sports, and I still do. So in that way, I guess I'm still just a big kid. That's why my 8-year-old grandson and I get along so well. I'm just a big kid who also happens to be 70 years old, but a big kid nonetheless. So when I was young, I hated to go to bed at night, and I hated to waste good playtime in the morning. That's why I was always the first one up in our house on Saturday mornings, much to the chagrin of my parents, I might add. That's probably one reason why I spent every Friday night at my grandparents' house, so my folks could go out and party on Friday night and then sleep late on Saturday morning. Their grandma and grandpa didn't sleep late. And besides, grandpa was just like I am with my 8-year-old grandson. He was just a big kid who wanted to play. And I made the most of it. Grandma loved to get up and cook a big breakfast, usually all my favorites, scrambled eggs, toast, pan-fried sausage patties. Oh, I love those sausage patties. She'd even cook up extra patties, and I'd eat them for lunch on sandwich bread with lots of mustard. That's still like candy to me. And it reminds me of my saintly grandma at the same time. Then Grandpa and I would go out in their tiny little backyard and play catch until I wore him out. But there were plenty of other kids on the block to play with. Or we'd go up to the local movie theater and watch the weekly serial western and lots of extra cartoons and then the feature film they were showing that week. We called it the Kiddie Show. So getting an early start on the day has really always been a part of my routine. And that was seriously reinforced by the United States Army. Now, there's an organization that shared my love of sunrises. Oddly enough, nobody else in basic training seemed to agree with me on that particular issue. But I have to admit, it probably had a lot more to do with just facing another day of abuse from the drill sergeants than it did the hour of the day. At any rate, I never struggled with getting up at 5 a.m. I liked hitting the chow line for breakfast. But as I got a little older, I started working late night, even all night shifts in radio, and of course, my sleeping patterns changed. Suddenly, I was a night owl. I wasn't getting up at the crack of dawn anymore. In fact, sometimes I didn't even go to bed until the crack of dawn. But it just never felt quite right to me. So I was always trying to position myself to do the morning show on whatever radio station I was working for. Well, mornings are prime time radio to begin with, and I wanted to be the one in the spotlight. But it also had a little something to do with my body clock, too. As a matter of fact, my first real taste of early morning radio was in the Army, of all places. I was stationed in Seoul, South Korea, with what most people call Armed Forces Radio and TV. And I'd already been on the air since I was 15 years old, so the civilian who ran the station made me the morning man and the network program director. That meant I was in charge of the morning show on the network and 8 different radio stations all over Korea. Plus, I was the sports anchor on TV on the weekends. That meant I was working 7 days a week. But I loved it because it made the time fly. And that's what all of us wanted, to make the time fly by so we could get out of the Army and go back to the States. But it was during that first stint as an early morning broadcaster that I started to learn tricks for how to squeeze in every last minute of sleep before I had to get up and be on the air. Oh, you'll love this story. We lived in those half-moon hooches with a door at each end, like you see in the MASH movies. And I got up one morning in the middle of the winter, but when I opened the door, there was snow all the way over the top of the doorway. And I thought, well, guess I'm not going to work today. So I went back to bed. About 15 minutes later, the CQ runner was shaking me awake, and he said, Hames, you overslept. You're on the air. I said, wow, you guys sure dug us out fast. He looked at me kind of weird, and he said, dug you out of what? I went down to that same door, and I opened it up and pointed to the snow, and I said, dug us out of that. He laughed at me, and he said, that's the north end of the hooch, you idiot. Did you check the south end? It was a snowdrift. I'd never seen a snowdrift before. So I said, hey, I'm from Texas. What do I know about snow? But I did feel like an idiot. In any case, that's when I started learning how to make the most out of every minute of the morning, you know, so I could sleep as long as possible before I had to jump up and run into the radio station and go on the air. And those skills served me well over the next 40 or 50 years, because that was just my first morning show. I wound up doing morning shows in Dallas-Fort Worth, San Francisco, and of course, here in Houston. As a matter of fact, when I did a morning show in San Francisco, Cindy and I lived in Marin County. That's up north of the city. And I traveled across the Golden Gate Bridge every morning. One day I got up and I grabbed my first cup of coffee, and I realized it was raining. Not an unusual thing in Northern California in the middle of the winter. So I pulled back the curtain to our sliding glass patio doors, and the rain wasn't falling. It was blowing sideways. Well, almost, anyway. A major squall had blown in off the Pacific Ocean overnight, and when I ran to my car, which was just a few feet away from our front door, I was literally soaked from head to toe. But it didn't make any sense to go back in and change clothes because it would only happen all over again when I ran back to the car. So I just headed to work sopping wet. Now, the Golden Gate Bridge is a suspension bridge, so it sways all the time, but it's so massive, you can't actually feel it sway in the wind. But on this morning, in that squall, you could. Well, it was extremely subtle, I'll admit, but I could definitely feel the bridge swinging very slowly back and forth as I drove across it. Wow, I'll admit, it was downright terrifying. And most people don't know this, but back in the 70s at least, you only paid a toll on the Golden Gate Bridge one way. And that was when you were going into the city of San Francisco. If you were coming out of San Francisco and heading back north, it was free. You didn't have to pay a toll. So I'm driving south on the Golden Gate Bridge from Marin County. That means that the toll booths on the other side of the bridge face due west. You know, the same direction as all that wind and rain was blowing in off the Pacific Ocean. But when I got ready to pay the toll booth operator looked at me, kind of shook his head, nope, and just waved me right on through. I got in for free that day. Ah, the war stories of an early morning radio personality. And you can read all about it in my book, Houston's Morning Show, The True Story of Hudson and Harrigan. Buy my book, please. Now, here I am, hosting yet another morning radio program on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. So I thought this would be a good time to talk about how to prepare food ahead of time and squeeze out every last minute of sleep in the mornings. That means today we're all going to be workday preppers.
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's. Conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. It's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media, and my company, Edgewater Digital, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of digital marketing. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time or expertise to build and maintain your website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to manage your company's internet ads or social media accounts? Like, never, right? Well, at Edgewater Digital, that's what we do. We have a talented web design team who've built a number of incredibly successful websites for companies large and small. Need content too? No problem. Edgewater can provide copywriting, photography, and videography services to enhance the content on your website, email marketing, or even social media. We're a full-service digital marketing solution with a track record of success. Call us today at 832-500-4272 or see our website, edgewater-digital.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at Allspa's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspa's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspa's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint, and hardware all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspa's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspa's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspa's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
First first-timer alert. Please say hello to my dear friend and colleague of many years, Chuck Tiller. How are you, Mr. Tiller?
I am great, Randy. How about you, sir?
I'm doing well. By the way, when we raise the first-timer alert, that applies only to this show.
Oh.
Because obviously, in this particular case, it doesn't apply to this radio station.
No, it doesn't, does it?
Mr. Tiller has appeared on this radio station hundreds of thousands of times more than I ever will. Because not only is he the operations manager of this station, he also produces the Sam Malone Show each morning.
That's right.
Monday through Friday. So I guess I should say, welcome home, Tiller.
Well, certainly it's good to be here on a Saturday and on Sunday, if you're listening on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock when we repeat the show.
Ah, cool. Now, many in our audience are more than just a little bit familiar with the sound of your voice because of your affiliation with the Malone Show.
Yeah.
But it's highly likely that very few of them know your background. This is one of the things we like to do on this show.
Yeah.
So let's enlighten the masses. Start out by telling us, where were you born, reared, where'd you go to school, all that kind of thing.
All right, well, I am a native Houstonian, born in 1951. I went to Bel Air High School, graduated from there in 1969 and in 1970, which sounds a little strange, but...
I'm not sure I want to know the rest of that story.
Well, what happened? I'll say what happened back then.
Yeah.
In 1969, I had a rodeo accident. I used to ride bareback horses and bulls and that kind of stuff when I was a teenager. All the other guys were playing football and baseball. I was a rodeo rider.
Huh.
And I got trampled one night, and I had to lay up. One of my lungs deflated, so I had to lay up in bed for about a month. So I had to come back to finish the next year for just one course to graduate in 1970. So from rodeo, I made sure that I went into another rodeo called radio.
In all the years I've known you, Tiller, I've never heard that story. And Chuck is a mainstay on radio in Houston for many decades. So give us a little quick rundown of how you got into the business and some of the places you worked before you and I actually worked together.
Okay, well, you know, first of all, it goes actually way back when I was, I guess, about 8 years old. The three things that I remember, and I tell people this, the three things I remember the most is Elvis Presley, Ray Charles, and KILT. And Kilt 610 was a rock and roll, you know what.
Yeah.
And man, I loved it. I said, wow, that's what I want to do. I knew even then I wanted to do it. So I just didn't know how to go about it. And I did what you probably did and other radio people. You mimic whoever's on the air to try to be there and do that so you can eventually get into the business.
Sure.
And that's what I did. I also learned that I was mispronouncing the letter W. And I learned that by listening to WLS out of Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
And which was another one of my favorite stations because it just boomed in here, you know. So I made sure that I started to train myself to speak in a different way. And now I can slip back and talk like this anytime I want because that is really where I come from.
Yeah, you and me both, buddy.
That's right. We're both old Texans from way back. So there I went. Eventually I got on my first radio station in 1972. And although it wasn't a Houston station, it was in Texas City.
Ah.
And it was KTLW and 920 AM, which had a great signal. This is what is known as a daytime station, only operated in the daytime. And I worked there, and I could be heard in Houston. And I hope nobody remembers. You know where I'm coming from.
Yes. So you don't mind mentioning other radio stations on your own station. I can remember when one of our bosses wouldn't let us cite the temperature as 93 degrees because
that's right.
He didn't want us to say the competition's dial position.
That's right.
So he had us say 92 or 94 degrees. Do you remember that foolishness?
Absolutely right, and we couldn't say 99 either.
Yeah.
Because it's sunny 99.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that stuff, I guess, doesn't matter anymore, and, you know. hey, what the hey.
So tell us some of the legendary Houston radio personalities that you worked with, again, before you and I teamed up.
Okay. Well, one of the first people that I connected with was a guy by the name of Rick Libby, who was the program director of 1070 KENR. And I took an audition tape to him, and he stopped the tape and says, "You're the worst thing ever heard in the world, and you will never be on 1070. The tape was in the machine, and I've always believed behind every negative there's a positive somewhere. So I said, "Look, tell me what I'm doing wrong. The tape's already in the machine. What's happening?" So he told me, and he was right. So from there, I moved on to KIKN in Corpus Christi, to KIKK, and then KNUZ. And that's where I met the big stars, because KNews, still from his top 40 days, had a lot of his rock and roll disc jockeys like Joe Ford and, of course, Arch Yancey, who had worked there, and at KIKK. Arch was the boss. And Larry Vance, Paul Berlin, Walter Hammack, all kinds of folks that I had rubbed shoulders with and learned a lot.
So tell us how you got affiliated with the Hudson and Harrigan Show when I was on the air as Irv Harrigan.
I get to Kilt in 1984 in November. And I was there a couple of years when Rick Candia, the program director, came to me and says, "Listen, we're going to have a full-time producer for the Hudson Harrigan Show. So would like you to be the producer." I said, "Really? Why me?" You know, I'm like, "Well, Fred wanted you there." So I said, "Okay, well, okay." So Fred, who was a Mac, of course, I talked to him and I said, "Well, why did you choose me?" He says, "Well, I heard you do a contest on Kilt last night." And I said, "A contest?" He said, "Yeah, you were giving away $100. "Well," I said, "for $100 KILT cash, if you can tell me what was used as douche around the turn of the century, you'll win $100 from KILT. And it was Coca-Cola. So the listener called, and they were right, and they got him the $100. So somehow Fred put that together that I should be your producer. And then from then on, you called me Uncle Trashy.
Yep, I did. And then, where did you go from there, professionally speaking? You went to talk radio. How did you get into that?
That's right. I went to 97 Talk FM to work for Roger Gray. Got myself a little two-year contract. The station only lasted a year, and they had to pay me off. And then I moved over to KKHT and left them again, went back to Kilt for a short time, and then wound up on 95.7 The Wave to play smooth jazz. And then they called me from Salem and said, "Hey, look, we need somebody to help us put together the news talk operation. How about it?" I said, "Okay, no, I can't do it." So I turned them down twice. On the third time, I did it. And I have been here ever since. I became operations manager in 2009.
So tell everybody what time you arrive at the radio station every morning.
I get here at 3 a.m.
Why in the world do you get there that early? What do you do?
Well, at 3 a.m., I come in and load up one of her last promos for other shows like the Larry Elder Show and Sebastian Gorka to go to be played all day long, because those things come in late after I go to bed generally. And not only that, I've got to put together actualities, they're called, for the Sam Malone Show, because at 7, 8, and 9 o'clock, I put together something that sometimes it's elaborately produced, things for Sam to comment on. And in order to put all this together, you've got to find the right thing, and it's got to be current. And not only that, something could happen at 10 o'clock at night to change the whole show for the next day.
Sure.
And so I got to be ready for that. And by the time I'm through doing all that, it's 5 a.m., and then I become a simple board operator until 7 o'clock when we start the Sam Malone Show.
Well, I'm intimately familiar with this kind of schedule. I got up at 3 a.m. for 35 years.
That's right.
And all this discussion about sleep-deprived schedules and early morning radio personalities is actually purposeful, because today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is going to discuss some good ideas for preparing meals in advance for use later on in the work week. So, Tiller, I saw you on Facebook, and you were grilling lots of meals in advance, so we want to talk about that a little bit more in the next segment. Can you stick around?
I certainly can, sir.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoking hot tips for you and your old flame right after this short break.
Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at Allspa's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspa's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspa's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspa's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspa's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspa's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Hi, friends. Randy Hames to tell you about Cellular and Satellite. Cellular and Satellite are specialists in wireless data plans for businesses. Because they buy in large quantities, Cellular and Satellite can give you a data plan on the same provider you're using today, but at a lower cost. Cellular and Satellite can also combine the two largest wireless providers into a single data plan. Two carriers with better coverage, but only one invoice to pay. If your workforce is international, Cellular and Satellite offers a global data SIM with fixed pricing in over 200 countries. You'll never have to pay international roaming charges again with Cellular and Satellite. And they can handle all your wireless data needs, whether you need 10 or 10,000 data SIMs. So if you're an IT professional, mobility manager, or business owner, save money and increase your network availability by letting Cellular and Satellite simplify your wireless life. Call Cellular and Satellite today, 832-551-1000, or go to cellularandsatellite.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
Well, we're back now with my boss, the operations manager of this fine radio station. It's Mr. Chuck Teller, who just also happens to have been my producer on the Hudson Harrigan Show many years ago. But now you're the producer of another iconic Houston radio personality, Sam Malone.
That's right.
So how did Mr. Malone come to work for you?
Well, Mr. Malone was on another radio station over at KSEV, and he wanted to come to them with the idea of having a combination television radio show, but they let him go. So we began negotiations for him to come over here and work with us, and it took about a year. And in March 2013, we were good to go, and he was probably just waiting out his contract because he was being paid, you know. I still got to get a paycheck.
Well, Sam and I have known each other for years. Our wives even played tennis together at one time. I'd be shocked to find out that there are very many folks at all who don't already know who Sam is. But obviously, he's got a great sense of humor. But what other character traits do you admire about Sam?
This quick-wittedness. I mean, if you were just to say orange, just say the word orange or talk about an orange, he'll take that, and next thing you know, he has expanded it into something wild and crazy. It doesn't take much to get him started. He's got a very fertile mind, and you got to keep up with that mind if you're going to work with him. But I told him, he said, well, did you ever listen to the Sam Malone Show? I said, I couldn't. Why not? And I said, I was producing the Hudson Harrigan Show. It was all at the same time.
Well, we talked earlier about how it's such an unreasonable hour of the night that you arrive, 3 a.m.
Right.
But when does the star of the show arrive at work each morning? When does Sam get there?
Well, Sam's 12 miles away in another studio. He gets there, I would say, about 6 o'clock.
Ah, so this tells us about the pecking order around here, huh?
Yes, don't it? Do tell.
Yeah, we know who the real boss is, right? However, keeping those ridiculous hours, 5 days a week, every week, that requires some planning.
Right.
In order to make all of that happen. And that's where the subject matter for this installment of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show actually comes in. I mentioned in the first segment that I saw you posted a picture on Facebook recently in which you had a grill full, and I do mean completely full, of burgers and steaks and all kinds of meat. And then on top of that, you even noted in the post, the chicken is next.
That's right.
Now, my first thought was, wow, Tiller is having a huge party out by the pool. But that was not the case. What were you actually doing?
Well, I was cooking for the week for both my wife, Sonia, and myself, because she works long hours. She drives for UPS, and a lot of times she didn't get home till 7:30, sometimes 8:30, even 9:30 at night. And I go to bed somewhere between 7:30 and 8:30 because I got to get up at 2.
Right.
So I like to have a lot of food ready. So I try to cook in advance and get a bunch of it fired up. And that way I've got it. I'll go home today and those leftovers will be wonderful. You know, works fine for us.
And then you have time to actually sit down with Sonia and have dinner together before you go to bed, right?
Yes. Because we've cooked it up, you know.
Well, it did not appear to me that the burgers in that picture on Facebook were pre-made, you know, the kind that you get pre-packaged in the meat department at the local grocery store. It looked like you hand-fashioned those patties. Am I right or wrong?
Yes, I do. I hand-fashion. You're absolutely right. You got to be careful about hand-fashioning burgers because, you know, it's one thing to make a round one, but you got to make sure that it doesn't puff up on you, so you got to keep your eyes on it. You're trying to make it a flat thing, but it could turn round on you.
And then you've got a ball of burger.
That's right.
Well, let me give you a tip that I learned from Rick Allspa at Allspa's Ace Hardware out in Kingwood. He said, put a little thumb indentation right in the middle of the patty, and it won't bow up on you.
That's right. That's absolutely right. I learned that trick from my son, Trey Tiller. Trey cooks better than I do. I mean, I was like, wow.
Is he a professional chef?
No, he works over at a restaurant, and he knows a lot of chefs, and he's picked up a lot of tips. And so, and I, you know, I'm a lazy griller.
Me too.
Yeah, I throw it together. I mean, I use salt and pepper, of course, but also use something called Slap Your Mama.
Oh, yes.
And Slap Your Mama is excellent. I like it better than Tony Chachere's, which is not bad. I think Raging Cajun, that's pretty good too. But I like a little bit of heat to it, a little bit of fire to it. And so I put it on everything, you know. And there's no rhyme or reason how I do it. I just sprinkle it on, rub it in, get it on the grill.
But Trey's not like that. Now, I heard you say about him, everything's in the presentation. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. I mean, he'll pull out a plate and he'll garnish it. He'll do all kinds of things and make it really, really nice looking. And he'll bring the plate around everybody so they can sample. He brings around samples first, and then they'll sample off the tray and go, oh, that's great, because it is.
Sample off Trey's tray, eh?
Sample off of Trey's tray. Absolutely right, sir. Absolutely right.
Well, has Trey ever considered becoming a professional chef?
I think he has. He doesn't say much about it. I wonder about that. I wonder if it was being a professional, would that lose the charm, you know? You know, some people do things for fun,
yep,
and they like it, but if they try to have to work for it, it makes it tough. Suddenly you've put some pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
So I don't know. God, he's a grown guy now. Do you realize this man's going to be 34 years old this year?
I know, buddy. Boy, our kids have just grown up, haven't they?
Well, of course you do.
Well, let's get back to your steaks for a minute. I saw steaks on that grill.
Yes.
Do you put any special kind of marinade or rub on your steaks?
No, I don't. If it's a good piece of steak, it'll stand on its own, and I use the salt and pepper to Slap Your Mamas, and sometimes I use the Lowry's. I'll add some other seasonings to it. But there is one thing I do. 24 to 48 hours in advance, I'll take a bucket of water, and I'll soak my hickory chips or my pecan wood in it and let that soak for 24 hours to 48 hours. So when it comes time for me to smoke the meat, I got a smoker that's onto the grill there. I'll get the coals good and hot, ready to go, lay the meat on, close the lid, throw in those pieces of wood, and smoke it, baby. I'll see that back smoking like it's an 18-wheeler barreling down I-10.
Well, what kind of grill do you own? What kind of smoker do you have?
You know, I don't even know the name of it. I bought it at Home Depot.
Honesty on this show.
I don't know. You know, it's just like, well, what kind of chicken you get? Well, when I go buy chicken quarters, like I'll go to Aldi's and you can get a bag of chicken for 47 cents a pound. Now, the difference in this bag of chicken is they're all different sizes in there. You know, some are big and some are medium. And if you usually buy a bag of chicken like at Randall's or Kroger or HEB, you're going to see uniform pieces of meat in that bag.
Right.
But not over there. Well, that doesn't make any difference to me. And if I can get it cheaper, I'll do it. Cheap is my main. I mean, frugal is my middle name.
Yes. Well, you're mentioning chicken. How do you prepare your chicken? Do you use a marinade or a rub on them?
No, I just salt, pepper them, and Slap Your Mama again, and I rub them down really good, and then when it comes time to get them on the grill, I get them on there. Now, it's kind of difficult for me to cook chicken because she likes it really, really done, and I don't. But then I don't want it to bleed either, so it's kind of, you kind of have to watch that chicken, or next thing you know, you'll burn it.
Tiller, this just highlights again how much alike you and I are. I'm the same way. Salt and pepper, Slap Your Mama, slap it on the grill.
That's right.
Mama wants hers done really well done, and I like mine medium. So
right.
You and I are still on the same page after all these years.
Yeah, that's right. We are.
This has been the well-prepared operations manager of this year radio station and my friend of many years, Uncle Trashy, better known as Chuck Tiller. We appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to talk to us and share some of your food prep ideas. Now, go take a nap, will you, buddy?
I'll do that. Thank you. Randy, it was good talking with you.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. It's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a video or a new website or help in managing their social media, and my company, Edgewater Digital, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of digital marketing. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time or expertise to build and maintain your website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to manage your company's internet ads or social media accounts? Like, never, right? Well, at Edgewater Digital, that's what we do. We have a talented web design team who've built a number of incredibly successful websites for companies large and small. Need content too? No problem. Edgewater can provide copywriting, photography, and videography services to enhance the content on your website, email marketing, or even social media. We're a full-service digital marketing solution with a track record of success. Call us today at 832-500-4272 or see our website, edgewater-digital.com. Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspaw at Allspaw's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspaw's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspaw's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint, and hardware all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspaw's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspaw's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspaws.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspaw's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
I've admired this guy for years. Well, actually, decades, I guess. He's my old on-air partner from the Hudson and Harrigan Show, Fred Olson. How are you ready for the weekend, my friend?
Absolutely.
Well, good.
I'm always ready for, you know, it's when you're retired, every day is Saturday. So,
well, you're not really retired, are you? You work out there.
Not really. Now, kind of, semi. Now, when you have a little ranch, you're always doing something. You're always looking at a project. I'm looking at a project. Like I said, I got to mow that field. If it would just rain and it would grow some more, I'd mow it even more often.
Well, actually, one of the reasons why I've always admired you so much is that you always seemed ready. Be prepared jumps to mind. Were you in the Boy Scouts?
I was.
Wow.
I was a Boy Scout actually in Oregon when I was a kid. And to be a Boy Scout in the mountains,
mm-hmm.
it was easy to get a campfire badge. because you cut wood, because we actually had a wood stove in our kitchen, which we used most of the year.
Uh-huh.
And so the things that people in the city go, I'm going to go get camping badges. I said, I live in the woods. So to be a Boy Scout was something you really kind of had to do, because everybody else in that little town of 200, all the other kids you hung out with, they went to Boy Scouts.
So sure.
You didn't stay home because there was only one TV channel. So you went to Boy Scouts. And I love Scouts, man. The Scout training, Scout camp was awesome.
Well, I was never in Boy Scouts. I was never in Little League either.
Really?
No. Well, my parents were just, how can I say this carefully? They were frugal. No, they were cheap. They were cheap. So I never got to join Boy Scouts or play Little League because those things cost money.
Wow.
But then as I became an adult, I began to understand why, Fred. My parents were children of the Great Depression, and they lived every day of their lives expecting that all that abundance and prosperity could just disappear in a heartbeat. Mm. Were your folks like that?
Well, absolutely. We're 4 years apart in age. So, yeah, I mean, my parents were from the Great Depression. There was always that. But I can't say that. We didn't have anything to begin with, so we didn't really have anything to miss. And there's a beauty in poverty, is that you didn't really miss anything.
Well, as a Depression baby or in poverty, that mindset is never more evident than during mealtime. The Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, after all.
Yeah.
I can clearly recall my parents saying, eat everything on your plate, Randy.
Yeah.
You never know when you're going to get another good meal.
Yeah.
And that was because of the Depression. Did your parents say things like that to you?
Well, we lived in, again, most of my formative years in the middle of nowhere. So we lived on fresh trout.
Mm-hmm.
Then it seemed like labor at times to have to go get food. Then we had deer meat.
Uh-huh.
And farmers market people would come through town and would sell you fresh apples out of Washington, because we lived in Oregon at the time. So I never thought twice. I was just hungry, and except liver. I wouldn't eat liver. It made me sit there like for hours, and I said, I ain't eating this because it's disgusting. And that's the only thing I didn't have to eat. But yeah, you ate your food. So we made our own butter.
Wow.
We baked our own bread. And I look back then, I thought, well, we're just poor. But, you know, I look back now, I realize what a blessing that was to have those tastes that weren't commercialized yet.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I ate what was on my plate.
I even remember my dad saying that he ate better in the Army than he did at home. He went serious. He got drafted in 1941 before Pearl Harbor. And when I was in the Army, we yearned for home-cooked meals. But Pop said the chow hall was an improvement over home for him because the Army had a wider variety of grocery products. And my mother was always very careful about clipping coupons.
Sure.
And buying grocery items that were on sale.
Sure.
Heck, I go to Kroger or HEB every other day. If I don't show up every other day, they put out a bolo on me.
Do you remember, do you remember S&H green stamps?
Oh, yes, very much so.
You save up these books and books of them, and then you could maybe, if you were lucky, get a toaster.
Yeah. And leftovers were a big deal in my childhood. Absolutely nothing went to waste, even if there wasn't enough, say, pot roast left over to feed the whole family for another meal. Mom would turn it into a stew or some kind of heavy soup or something, just so she could stretch it out into another meal. And Cindy and I still do that to this day. Do you guys do that?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, my wife is she's a master at taking leftovers,
mm-hmm.
and making them and reinventing them into something like a stew or a soup.
Yep.
I cooked up a 10-pound Boston pork shoulder the other day, and I've got about 5 pounds of it left. So what we'll do is we'll package it. You know, we could do a vacuum sealer, freeze it, and you can pull out, you know, when you need it, and roll it in tacos. You could, you know, put it on a salad, put some salsa on it, and, you know, just. So, yeah, we really do that here in the country. Of course, you know, it's a matter of necessity. You look in the fridge and go, we can't waste that. Let's eat it. And It's important. I, growing up, I don't remember ever wasting food or throwing anything away, especially cake.
And all of this actually dovetails perfectly into the topic of discussion for today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. We call it workday preppers, you know, like kind of like doomsday preppers without all the paranoia and the conspiracy theories.
Sure.
And we talked to our old producer from the H&H show, Chuck Tiller, in the first two segments, and he's now the operations manager of this fine radio station. And he arrives here at 3 a.m. every morning.
Ooh.
You and I used to get up at 3 a.m. He arrives at work at 3 a.m. So he goes to great lengths on the weekend to get prepared for the work week.
Oh, yeah.
Because we both understand how important that extra 5 or 10 minutes of sleep is every morning.
Yes.
Without necessarily referring to food first, what were some of the things that you did to stretch out every last minute of sleep before you had to get up out of bed in the mornings?
I went to bed at 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Always 9.
Yeah, I did too.
And then I would wake up at 3. There was one time I was setting the clock ahead 10 minutes. Then the alarm would go off, and then I'd get that extra 10 minutes sleep. I'd go, wait a minute, you're not getting an extra 10. You're interrupting that extra 10 to think you get extra 10. And so I've been doing that for years, and I finally went, you know what? Why am I doing that?
Well, now, when you talk about food, I laid out breakfast.
Yeah.
So breakfast was right there ready for me. It was always just a bowl of cereal and some fruit. But I also laid out my clothes.
Oh, yeah?
So that I didn't have to choose clothes in the morning. Did you do that?
No, everything was pretty well. You know, jeans, T-shirt, because we didn't have to dress up for work.
Yeah.
In the summer, shorts, flip-flops, collared shirt, you know, and in the winter, jeans, a jacket, and boots. But we dressed pretty simply for that show. There was no one to impress behind the glass, so.
Well, like Tiller, did you ever cook things up in advance for, say, a quick breakfast or a dinner entree during the week so you didn't have to worry about it and you could go to bed early?
I'm going to be really honest with you. When we lived in the city, we lived inside the Loop, Bev and I, we ate out so much. We just did, because we were within walking distance of some really good restaurants and not expensive places. I'm talking, you know, there was like a Barnaby's, which was really good, and there was a CPK, California Pizza Kitchen. But all around us, there were good restaurants and not expensive ones, and good Mexican restaurants. Wow. And so we ate out most of the time, because she was a working woman. You know, she had a business to run. And then, of course, I got up at 3. And so until we moved to the country, I didn't realize, I knew she could cook, but she's a great cook, because out here she has to.
Well, yeah, and we were talking about leftovers earlier.
Yeah.
So did you and Bev ever use leftovers from the weekend to create some quick and easy weekday meal, kind of like Tiller is doing?
Well, if we took something out here, you'd take it back to the city when we had to go back and forth. But now we'll cook ahead. She'll prepare breakfast stuff like for the whole week.
And what kind of breakfast stuff would she prepare?
Oh, what she do now is we cook up a bunch of sausage or bacon. She'll cook up a couple pounds of bacon in the oven, by the way, without all the grease.
Hmm.
And we do a lot of roll ups with it's almost like a crepe, only it's not. It's made out of oatmeal, cottage cheese, vanilla, and egg product.
Mm-hmm.
And you can add stuff to it to make it. Put curry in it. You could put basil, sage, anything, or just leave them plain. And we do that now during the week. In fact, that's what I'm going to eat here for you at the gym. Is I'll roll one of those up, boom, 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 get a carbohydrate and a protein, and a cup of coffee, and I'm out the door. So we prep that way. We prep breakfast a lot. And plus that pork shoulder I put up, we'll eat that for a few days and then freeze the rest.
Well, my wife, Cindy, has always been great about using leftover meat to make stews or hash or a heavy soup of some kind, just like my mother did. You know, they say we men marry our mothers, so I guess I did. And by the way, in my case, that's a good thing. Let me just go on record as saying that right now so I don't get in trouble.
I did not marry my mother, by the way. Let's go on record here. I did not.
Well, it's been great talking to you, buddy. But as always, it's always nice to do it at a more reasonable hour of the morning. So... have yourself a great weekend. Enjoy it. And in fact, go ahead and splurge. Sleep till the sun comes up tomorrow.
Hey, thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
I was about cooking something up with me.